This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
As we celebrate Mother's Day this weekend, let us remember that every animal has a mother too. Just like our mothers who comfort, feed and protect us, animal mothers also take great care of their young. But we might find some of their ways disgusting and even extreme. Today, we hear the stories of three animal mothers and their children in the wild. Asian elephants.
The mom will keep feeding and then occasionally will just go around to touch the baby to make sure where she is.
Dung beetles in Malaysia.
Some even will sit in the nest and slowly starve to death as they take care of the young.
And spiders from Brazil.
If we remove the mother from the web, after about 5 days, all the spiderlings are dead.
Professor Ahimsa Campos Athith from the University of Nottingham Malaysia campus has been studying Asian elephants in Sri Lanka and Malaysia for more than a decade. I follow Ahimsa and his student, Ms. Hinning, on their visit to the Kuala Ganda Elephant Sanctuary in Pahang. Ahimsa and Ning told me about elephant mothers and their calves in the forest.
My first memory of thinking this mother-calf thing, I was driving in a little truck in southern Sri Lanka, and we saw this group of elephants, which you had the adults and the smaller ones. But then after watching them for a while, two big elephants move a little bit, and underneath them there was this tiny calf that we hadn't noticed until then. So we had been watching the group for a while and we see them moving, and but we didn't notice that very small one. He probably was less than 1 month old. I keep on looking at this calf for a while, and what I noticed that most of the time it was hidden under the mother or under a number of females, so it will never be exposed, it will never be in danger. Only once that he came out and quickly came back and then run under the mother's legs. That was very, very cute.
Is that normal for the calf to hide under the mother?
It is. Normally the elephants, what they will do is they protect the small ones. So then there are always bigger elephants outside, particularly if they perceive a risk, like we were a vehicle, you know, passing nearby, they will always try to protect the weaker.
A few times I remember just seeing how the mother and calf would just stop, and then the calf would use its trunk to wrap it around its mother's leg. Just stood there for a long time. Felt like it was reassurance that someone's in front, and because it's in the dark.
Normally when the calf goes with the mother, it's called calf on heel. So, you know, mom will be walking and the baby is very, very close to the mother's heel. And it's not unusual that the mother will stop and the baby just bumps into the mother, like, you know, because he didn't realize that the mother was stopping.
Standing taller than 2 meters and weighing more than 15 sumo wrestlers, an Asian elephant mother walks the forest with little to fear. Her biggest challenge might be to satisfy her giant baby.
The main challenge of being an elephant is finding enough food. So basically, from an evolutionary point of view, what elephants did is grow big enough so that they cannot be eaten. Calves can be predated by tigers, lions, but it's very unusual. It's not a common problem. So the main problem is if a mother gives birth in a period of scarcity. They mind that there is a drought, or there is, for whatever reason, there is no food on this particular period, and there is not enough food for the whole herd. She might not be able to produce enough milk, or when the calf is a little bit older, there might be not enough food. So then that's the main risk, you know, finding enough food in the critical time when is the calf's growth. But what a mother will do in that case will be separate from the herd and temporarily stay away from the group, and then that will avoid competition within the group, and it will be much easier to find food for the calf. Elephants are very smart animals, and then they know how to exploit the environment and the resources. Also, one of the challenges for a calf is to follow the pace of the group. So the calf move very slow, small steps, and sometimes the group might need to go faster to reach wherever they're going. So in that case, also the mother might choose to separate from the group and make sure that the calf has priority. And because elephants can communicate over long distances, it is not difficult to stay in touch and then reunite with the group later.
Although an elephant mother and her calf may move away from the herd, more often the whole herd raised the young together. Sometimes, the aunt and the grandmother participate in ways that remind us of our families.
So then of course the mother will take the main responsibility, and you know, there's a very strong bond between mother and calf. But something very interesting about elephants is the role that the aunties or the grandmas play in the care of the offspring. Females will take care to some extent when the mother is busy or for maybe as the calf is exploring around. So then other females might take care, but might stay at short distance from the calf. So maybe the mother just doesn't follow the calf, but knows that there's one auntie nearby. And of course, there's the role of all the elephants, the matriarchs, having knowledge and guiding the group and you know, caring for the whole well-being of the group. So then when a mother gives birth, suddenly you have the group excited, happy and moving around, and there is a sense of joy that I think it is not only the mother, it's the you know, the could be the siblings or the aunties. What happens is that the whole family will be just moving around, being very very noisy, making a lot of communication and having a sense of excitement. And that's, I think, quite a human behavior when we always celebrate the new birds, and it's a family thing. So elephants are quite similar in that.
After the elephants, we look down and find mothers that are smaller than a golf ball and play with dung. Our mothers had to deal with our poop when we were babies, and I suspect that few of them actually enjoyed changing our diapers. Dung beetle's mother, however, would fight to dig their claws into more dung. To learn why, I visited the Museum of Zoology at University of Malaya to speak to Mr. Terry Gazigo. Terry is completing his master's degree on dung beetles. And of course, my first question was, do dung beetles actually eat dung?
It's a misconception that dung beetles actually eat dung. They don't. What they're actually after is the bacteria inside the dung. Their jaws are very strong. They have a lot of hairs which act as a sieve in their mouth. So what they'll actually do is they'll grab the dung and press it very hard in their jaws and suck out this bacteria-containing liquid. A lot of herbivorous dung is a lot of wood, generally not digested by the animal. But bacteria has relatively high energy compared to that. So that is what they're actually after.
How do dung beetles look like? And can we find them in the city?
One of the main characteristics of a dung beetle compared to other beetles is that their bodies are more compact, slightly smaller, more rounder shape. But I think you have to be quite experienced with beetles to tell the difference. There are so many species of dung beetles. Some are metallic green, some have orange stripes on them, some have dots, some are red in colour. Dung beetles usually need to dig into the ground to lay their eggs. If you place a lot of concrete and very little dung available, like downtown KL, then usually you won't get it. But let's say it's a place with a relatively good supply of dung and maybe some ground for them to dig into, you will find some of the smaller ones.
Dung beetles dig very fast, carving into the soil with a row of hard blades on their legs. Give a dung beetle mother some nice, moist dung, and she's all set to build a delicious home for her children.
They actually will create nests just to keep their young safe. The process starts with the beetles. They fly around the forest trying to smell for dung. It has to be fresh and wet, generally 1 or 2 days old. Once they actually smell some fresh pile, they fly down. At that point, they usually try to look for a mate. It involves a lot of these chemicals, pheromones. They have a lot of pheromone glands in their mouths, in some other parts of their body also. Sometimes they'll like touch each other's mouths just to recognize each other. Once they have developed that bond, they will start to prepare a nest. Normally, it begins with burrowing. So they'll burrow a tunnel first, and then they'll grab dung and move it into the tunnel. After that, they'll seal the tunnel so nothing can get in. And these tunnels can be quite deep in some species, up to like 2 or 3 meters. So it's very safe from predators. And after they shape that dung into, well, the term we use is sausages, or sometimes they're balls, sometimes they're sausages. They shape it up into that, and then they'll lay their eggs, usually one in each ball or one in each sausage. From there, the young dung beetle will develop. So in some species, that is the end of the parental care. They'll leave the young after they burrow, they bury them. In other species, they'll actually stay with the young and take care of it, raise it. If there's any fungus growing, they'll clean it off, just to ensure that that one larva will survive. Yeah, and a larval development all occurs within that ball. As the larva gets bigger, it consumes more of that ball of dung.
Now, digging a tunnel several meters deep sounds tough. But at least the dung beetle mother would have lots of dung to work with, right? I mean, who would fight over dung?
Love is a battlefield for dung beetle mother. In under one dung pad, there's probably, sometimes you can have thousands of beetles competing. Each parent will have to fight his way through the dung and collect enough dung to give to its larva to survive. And then they have to grab that dung and then bury it underground, and that takes even more energy and a lot of effort, having to compete with other beetles. In fact, most of the energy in its adult life is to be invested in building the nest.
Wow, so nothing is easy in life, not even collecting dung. So what could a dung beetle mother do to get the best dung?
Well, they must diversify and not just do the same thing. They have to develop their own niche. Some beetles are only active at night, some beetles are only active at daytime. Some of them are active at 12 o'clock in the afternoon only for the entire species. Some have even gone to extremes of developing this behavior called rolling, where instead of digging a tunnel underneath the dung, they will take the dung and then using their hind legs, they'll hold it and then shape it into a ball. And then using their hind legs like a pincer, they'll grab the ball and then roll it away into a safe place, then they'll dig the tunnel. So with that, they don't have to fight for territory.
Dung beetle mothers fight hard to get the freshest dung on the ground for their children. In fact, some beetles think outside of the box, and instead of searching on the forest floor, they look up. These mothers jump off great heights just to secure a bright future for their children.
In the tropics, there are species which live in the canopy, like monkeys, some wild cats also live there. When these animals defecate, poop, the dung will land on the leaves and not directly on the ground. Some of our species have developed this ability to actually harvest the dung from leaves itself. The male and female would land on the leaf, and then they work together to shape a ball out of the dung. The female would hold on to the ball, and then the male would grab on, and the male would push both of them off. There are records of them, they fall down, but they fall on a different leaf, and then they just keep going and jump off again. They'll leap off the leaf and maybe fall 10, 15 meters onto the ground. Once they reach there, they'll dig a hole, and then they'll bury that small piece of dung in the ground.
Dung beetle mothers dig tunnels, they drag and roll dung to build homes for their children. We can relate to that. Our mothers also channel all their time and effort to provide food and a comfortable home for each of us. Perhaps, dung beetle mothers are more similar to our mothers than with other insects.
Compared with, let's say, a fly which would lay 200 eggs and hope that one or two will survive. But for a dung beetle, it would lay, some species, they lay only one egg, and they will try to ensure that that one egg will survive until adulthood. And it's very similar with humans, because humans, you only have one child at a time, and you have to ensure that that one child grows into a useful human being.
Few of us would love this next animal, and fewer still would see it as a great mother. But spiders, yes, spiders, have eyes only for their young. They work alone to feed and protect their tiny children. Some would even commit the ultimate sacrifice. I spoke to Dr. Marcelo Gonzaga from Uberlândia Federal University in Brazil. Dr. Marcelo has been studying spiders for years, and he says that all spider mothers care for their children, one way or another.
Some species just wrap their eggs with silk and place these egg sacs in suitable places. Other species take care of these egg cases for a long time, and some species provide food and protection for the young.
Marcelo studied a spider species called Helvibis longicauda. It is smaller than a grain of rice and lives in Brazil. If you walk along the rivers and look up into the trees, you will see the large sticky webs that these spiders build.
Build large webs on leaves, and mating occurs within these webs. Males enter the webs and copulate with them. And after that, they leave the webs, and females remain taking care of the egg sacs. Well, while they're taking care of the egg sacs, they protect from attacks. And after the spiderlings hatch, mothers capture insects, and they offer insects to their youngs. So there are many behaviors involved in this process of taking care in these species.
The young spiderlings die within days if they are left alone. It's obvious why. These baby spiders cling on to their mother's web for survival. And have you ever seen a woman chew some solid food and then feed it to her baby? Well, a spider mother helps her children digest their food too.
If we remove the mother from the web, after about 5 days, all the spiderlings are dead. Mainly because males invade the webs and eat all of them. And females need to protect their broods against these males. Mothers usually have about 15 to 25 babies, which are completely dependent on maternal care. They never capture their own food and simply wait for the meals provided periodically by their mothers. Female, they throw a lot of enzymes into the body of the prey, so the prey becomes soft, and after that, female calls the youngs to feed on this predigested soft prey. So young don't need to use their own enzymes to digest. They have a juice of already predigested prey. The meals are flies and some beetles.
In a way, the Helvibis spider mother works from home in her web. A nice home in nature, however, attracts unwanted attention. Neighbors creep closer and closer, and strangers might kill.
They have a lot of problems to taking care of these youngs. First, they have to construct a large web at a good position, keep this web in good conditions, making constant repairs, and also avoiding the infection of pathogens like fungus. Sometimes they have to fight with other spiders. There is another spider that occurs at the same location. These other species also need exactly the same places. So they sometimes fight to the better leaves to construct the web. They have to provide food daily to these youngs, and sometimes catching dangerous prey, because some insects have the ability to fight against their predators. So mothers assume these risks, wrap the prey in silk, inject venom and digestive enzymes, and finally offer the meal to the spiderlings. Sometimes they die when they try to catch some very dangerous prey, such as other spiders.
When her children ask for more, but she has nothing left to give, a spider mother could commit the ultimate sacrifice for her children.
Some cases, during 2 weeks, females provide meals to their offspring. And after this period, young spiders are still hungry and they eat their mothers. Mothers that exhibit high level of protein in their tissues will provide a better food for their juveniles. So it's very strange for us, but it happens in some cases in spiders. They do everything they can to provide good conditions for their children. Mothers protect and dedicate a lot of their time, a lot of their energy to taking care of their young. However, there are some important differences too. In humans, we have a complex social structure, and human mothers often have the support and help of other members of their group. Fathers may also contribute to taking care of their children, for example. In Elvis, in some spiders, mothers have to do all the work. So spiders can be considered as loving mothers.
We now know that an elephant mother protects her calf between her legs, a dung beetle mother builds nests deep into the ground for her young, and a spider mother would even let her children eat her body. But I wonder, would animals take care of their mothers like we care for ours?
I have not seen anything like that. So then what happened when elephants become very old, often they die because the teeth are worn out. So many elephants just die out of hunger because they cannot process the food. In that case, the old elephants will be, often they will just separate and stay alone. I haven't seen any case of elephants caring. I would suspect that if an elephant is injured or it is sick for some reason, the group might wait for that elephant and might encourage to keep on moving. But I guess only so much they can help.
When you're looking at these insects and invertebrates, is that they have very short lifespans. In some cases, the mother dies as soon as the young beetles reach adulthood. Some even will sit in the nest and slowly starve to death as they take care of the young. And as soon as they'll probably die before the young beetle emerges.
I don't think so. I think children usually stay sometimes exploiting their mothers and then go away. But in one species, the spiderlings contributes to the construction of the web. They remain a long time together with their mothers and capture prey together with the mothers. And we can see that kind of behavior as a cooperation.
Animal mothers, be they the large elephants or the tiny spiders, care for their children as much as our mothers do. It seems that all mothers share the same worries. If their children have enough to eat, and if their children are safe from dangers. So what makes us different from the animals? Well, we take care of our mothers just like how they had taken care of us. Happy Mother's Day to all mothers out there, humans and animals alike. I am Yao Hua Lau for The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.